This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks, a Sci-Fi for Me radio production. Welcome to the special unplugged preview episode of Sci-Fi for Chicks, the new podcast by the women of scififorme.com for women who love science fiction and fantasy and supernatural and superheroes and all the things that go with it. So when we say sci-fi from now on, it means all of those genres too. This is the female perspective on sci-fi, but that doesn't necessarily mean girly. We'll be talking about all sorts of shows, movies, books, games, etc. Basically, whatever strikes us as worthy of our sci-fi obsession. And the episodes can have any or all of the women on the website participating, so we'll have lots of views. We do welcome comments and questions. And if one of you lady listeners wants to join us on a future show, let us know. We'd love to have you join us. My name is Heather. I'm here in Dallas, and I'm joined today in the ladies' lounge by Alex in Krakow. Hey, Alex.
Hi. Hi.
We have Doreen joining me down here in Dallas.
Hello.
And we have AJ and Maya in the home office.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
On this episode, we're going to be introducing our first feature, the Doctor Who segment called The Companion Piece, as well as sharing a few of our turn-ons, and then looking ahead to mid-season premieres and more on Flash Forward. So let's get started with The Companion Piece, Doctor Who on Sci-Fi for Chicks. So I picked Doctor Who as our premiere segment because the title of this Christmas special really seems to sum up what it is, The Time of the Doctor. I mean, here's this 50-year-old British TV kids show that's been a cult favorite and now a pop culture phenomenon. So I thought let's go ahead and talk about the 800th individual episode of Doctor Who, Time of the Doctor. And if you haven't seen it, spoilers are ahead. So ladies, you want to get into a recap?
Somebody had a 3-minute one, right?
Well, we do have one of our men on scififorme.com did do a 3-minute recap. We have the Doctor and Handles and thousands of aliens orbiting the planet that we later learn is Trenzalore. It's the source of a mysterious message, and the Church of the Papal Mainframe has cloaked the planet to keep anyone from going down. But Mother Superior's Tasha Lem wants the Doctor to investigate the message. Now, in the middle of all this, Clara has called the Doctor to come to Christmas dinner as her boyfriend, and he appears naked. Happy Christmas indeed. They then go together to the planet, arriving in the town of Christmas, where no one can lie due to the truth field, emanating from the crack in the wall. Handles and the Doctor decode the message. It's Gallifreyan asking, Doctor Who? The question that must never be answered, which the Doctor deduces if he does with answer with his name, the Time Lords will return, which will start the Time War anew. But if he leaves, the Time Lords and the town will be destroyed. He tricks Clara going back home to Earth, but she jumps back on the TARDIS and arrives 300 years later. He tells her that he's used all 12 of his regenerations, and they return to the papal mainframe, now the Church of the Silence that had tried to kill the Doctor previously. Tasha is now a Dalek puppet, but he reawakens her, and they all escape. He tricks Clara to go home again. More centuries pass, leaving just the Daleks and the Silence and the Doctor. Tasha gets Clara and returns to the Doctor because no one should die alone. He goes to face the Daleks, and Clara goes up to the crack in the wall and begs them to save the Doctor somehow. His crack vanishes from sight, appears in the night sky. Regeneration energy flows from the crack and into the Doctor, saving him from death and changing his future. He uses the excess energy to destroy the Daleks. Then Clara finds the young Doctor again back on the TARDIS, but it is a reset for the new cycle of regenerations. He'll soon change. He says goodbyes, hallucinates a final farewell to Amy Pond, and removes his bow tie and abruptly regenerates into the 12th Doctor. And what are your thoughts, ladies?
Moffat phoned it in. That's what it boils down to. He had an entire other doctor to explain the whole regeneration thing, and he just phoned it in. I feel like this episode just was way too rushed, and by the end of it, I just didn't care enough. This is the first time I've never cried at that I've not cried during a regeneration episode.
I agree. I totally agree. It was so quick. It should have been at least a two-parter like End of Time was. And yeah, I didn't cry a drop.
So this should have been more like the Hobbit movie, and they should have stretched it out into three-part?
Oh, entirely. I saw where I was supposed to cry, and then I didn't.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad when you notice where it was supposed to happen, but then it just doesn't happen for you.
Yeah. It was entirely disappointing. I had such expectations because every time you change the doctor and you get a new incarnation and a new actor, there's a build-up, there's an emotional suspense, even though you know what's going to happen. And here it was just me. It fizzled out, really.
Hmm.
I just really hope that the writing for the rest of Capaldi is better because he's such a brilliant actor and this is what he wants to do.
Yeah, definitely.
I almost wondered, too, if maybe because this doctor, you know, Smith had 900 years, basically, of being the doctor. That's as much as all previous incarnations put together. I wonder if I just was kind of like, yeah, I like him as the doctor, but I wonder if I almost just don't care anymore because 300 years passed
so long.
The blink of an eye on the show.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone else notice the fact that Handel's is now officially the longest running companion of the Doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah. His Wilson. It's his Wilson, like on Castaway with Tom Hanks.
That's too funny.
Oh, geez. I know they were trying to draw parallels with K-9. That's the heartbreaking thing.
Oh, that's not good. So maybe this was disappointing because the fan expectations were maybe too high?
Maybe.
Doreen, as a new Whovian, what did you think of the episode?
Well, I mean, I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't like you said, I didn't cry. I didn't have that emotional tug that I had with Tennant and Eccleston, so... I don't know. I was sorry to see Matt Smith go, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm qualified to say. So.
Sure you are. You watched it. That makes you qualified.
You have a TARDIS on your phone. Yes, you're qualified.
I know, but, you know, they always could do better. And, you know, I still enjoyed it, but I agree. I appreciate what you ladies pointed out because I don't know if I felt like it was rushed, but yeah, I could have. I did want more of an emotional goodbye than they filmed.
Well, and did anyone else have a problem with the fact that he hallucinated Amy Pond? I mean, I understand that there was this whole thing about first face that he saw and all that stuff, but. I have a friend, for instance, who cannot stand Rose and got so sick of seeing Rose constantly coming back. And here I am. I don't like Amelia Pond. And I like Karen as an actress, but I was just like, why do we have to have her back? It's emotional enough for Clara. I don't know. I also got a kick out of the fact that both actors facing each other during the whole Raggedy Man goodnight. Both of them were wearing wigs. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was brilliant.
And his was much more convincing because I didn't realize it until I read later.
Is that maybe because, you know, the last time we saw Amy, she disappeared from the Weeping Angel, so she never really... It was kind of a goodbye. It was him remembering her was kind of his goodbye to her, I guess. I don't know.
So do you think Amy leaving through the Weeping Angel was more emotional than this regeneration?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, that was the point I was referencing of where I saw I was supposed to be crying, and I just was like, nope. I feel like a cold, heartless person.
The way I saw it is them bringing back Amy was somewhat taking away from Clara, because Clara was the one companion that I know a lot of people had a problem with because she was the impossible girl and really everything about her was about the doctor and not about herself. And then when she gets the chance to be this, you know, emotional connection and be the last face that the Doctor sees before he changes and stops being himself, and then suddenly there's Amy, whom we already said goodbye to. And I know that I was sitting there and thinking to myself, what is going on? I thought we did or done that.
Clara actually was, though, the last face he saw. It wasn't Amy, because after he says Amy, he and Clara, she says, don't change, and they sort of reach for each other, and then he changes. So she really was the last one that he saw.
And the first one of the new face in the new cycle of regeneration.
Maybe he was reiterating a point to Clara that you're going to be the first face the new Doctor sees, and how important that is to the new Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not give Moffat that much, you know.
Fair.
You're not in a giving mood, huh?
Well, I'm just glad that Paul didn't show up naked.
Yes. Well, yeah. I'm definitely going to be the person that says, I have no problems with Clara. I have no problems with Clara until they had to make her fancy the Doctor. I am so sick and tired of companions falling in love with the Doctor. We need more Donna Nobles.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I agree with you on there, because I love Donna. Yeah. But you know something? I actually, my one fangirl shipper moment of this show really was when she said that she fancied him and he was so excited about being the boyfriend. I actually thought it would have been hilarious if right before he did the final regeneration, they almost, not like munch mouth type kissing, but like their lips touched, and then his head jerks back, and it's suddenly now this man that's twice as old as the man she was physically, as the guy she was kissing, and it would be like, you are my grandfather, this is wrong, you know, and just really be able to put an end to that whole Doctor love interest with the companion thing, because I don't see how that would happen with Clara at all.
With the older... I'm getting confused.
I am ready, though, for that new dynamic, though, where it really can't be the Doctor falling in love with the companion, or the companion falling in love with the Doctor, since... I mean, he's the oldest, the oldest Doctor since Hartnell, so...
And I'm sorry, but anyone else excited for that fact?
That he's older?
That he's older. That he's finally not this young thing. No offense to all the new Doctors, but, I mean, really, to me, I grew up on, I mean, yes, Tom Baker was fairly young at the time, but, you know, going back, watching Hartnell and Pertwee was no spring chicken. And
Don't diss on Tom Baker.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. To an older Doctor, just to see what the dynamic, how they create the dynamic between the two.
Well, I saw a wonderful theory, though, that the Doctor is finally older again because he's finally forgiven himself for everything with the Time War.
Oh,
that was really what that's really what the 50th was about, was that it was about him learning to forgive himself.
Well, and that kind of ties into the 50th anniversary line, where it's like how they just keep getting younger, and where do you, you know, with the Hurt Doctor being so perplexed why the Doctors were so young. So that's an interesting theory.
I don't understand why an older Doctor represents his own forgiveness, him forgiving himself.
Maybe just because it's not the young one, you know, trying to go through all your aches and pains of growing up, you know, usually when you're...
So
they
the
say,
age of wisdom.
I wouldn't know, but when you're in your 50s and such, that you know, you get to a point where hopefully you've accepted what you are and where you're going and enjoy it more than struggling through your 20s or your 30s.
Okay, so the idea is that
really
with this
finding
age,
yourself again.
With this age, he has the wisdom to also give himself forgiveness.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing. Yeah, that's all. Sorry.
Okay, well, another aspect of it, what did you guys think about the crack in the wall returning and that whole loose Time Lord trilogy-ish kind of thing, you know, actually bringing to light maybe the return of the Time Lords?
I like that it was a throwback to the old episode, The Three Doctors. I mean, that's clearly what they were trying to do, is throwback to that whole trilogy with oh, how do the Brits pronounce it? Omega, as us Americans would say, Omega.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to see different doctors. I don't know. I know it's hard when some of them have aged to a certain point. But, I mean, it would have been cool to bring Paul McGann back randomly.
Well, they did kind of with the online video Night of the Doctor, showing how he regenerated into the Hurt Doctor, which just made me go, we were really cheated out of having him as a full doctor as opposed to just a one-off kind of thing. So,
yeah,
I thought.
But John Hurt is brilliant, so.
But can I make a suggestion? And maybe let's not have episode titles of the Doctor.
Yeah, hopefully that's the end of this trilogy. Quadrilogy, I guess. Yeah.
Because I'm ready for the show to not be about the Doctor, but about his adventures again.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And about what his name is and where, you know, yeah, all of his mythology as opposed to how he fits into the universe.
Exactly.
And how he's actually going off and solving problems instead of being the problem.
Oh, beautifully said.
There you go. Well, and especially since this last one was a Christmas episode, I mean, I know that's, you know, it's a loose thing. If you look at all the different Christmas specials they've had, it's not supposed to be like the major thing, but it was like other than The Town Called Christmas and Clara invited him to Christmas dinner, I'm like, well, happy Christmas to us. Let's see the Church of the Papal Mainframe and the Silence and the Daleks and, you know, every other foe and the angel, weeping angels with absolutely no reason to be there.
And I'm sorry, when I first saw pictures of wooden Cybermen, I went, oh, heck no. Well, because, you know, that's the one thing that the screwdriver doesn't work on. You would.
I was like, is this a Pinocchio story? You know, the Cyberman boy who wants to be. Wants to be a real Cyberman someday. I don't know.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, so
what else?
I have to pose a question now.
Mm-hmm.
Any Torchwood fans?
Have
any of you watched Torchwood?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But then something happened in Children of Earth that we don't talk about, and yeah.
Yes, no, we don't talk about the heartbreak of Children of Earth, because we just pretend that just didn't happen.
Yeah.
funny story, my friend made me watch Children of Earth going down to and leaving from Dragon Con, and I had the general reaction of issues with even looking at the actors. But my point is, Frobisher, how are we explaining this? Frobisher is a fairly important person in the mythology of the Doctor Who Torchwood universe.
I think I've read somewhere that they were supposed to explain it somehow. So maybe sometime during the season we'll find out.
I'm hoping, because Frobisher was an excellent character.
Yeah.
For those of you who might not know, Peter Capaldi played Frobisher. He was also in Fires of Pompeii, so he's been ingrained in the Doctor Who Torchwood mythology already. So.
Well, but
then again, Freeman
you
was
have...
as well.
The whole idea that the human brain cannot actually create faces, that every face, even every face we see in a dream, is a face that we've seen in the past. So I can totally write off the whole Fires of Pompeii thing. It's just Frobisher is a very important, very important character. Although I'm so excited for Capaldi. I've said it 100 times already, probably, but I'm so excited for Capaldi.
Okay, I thought I'd
rant on how much I'm upset about it forever, but that's besides the point.
We'll save that for an echo chamber, right? And let the guys get in on there, too. I thought I'd end with the question that must be answered, which is, I was going to do who your favorite doctor is, but especially hearing you, I think we should let Mr. Capaldi get a few episodes under his belt before we do that one. So, since it was a Christmas special, which one of the Christmas specials is your favorite? How about you, Doreen?
Oh, of course you have to start with me. I had to go back and recap, because since I did Doctor Who in a major what do they call it when you watch a bunch of stuff at the same time?
Binge watch.
A lot of the Christmas specials, I had to, like, refresh myself because I didn't necessarily know it was a Christmas special. I was just watching and watching and watching and watching. But I kind of really like The Next Doctor because it's is now in Walking Dead, and I just kind of like the idea that he was the doctor, and you know, Tennant was kind of like a little baffled and amused at the same time. So,
what about you, Maya?
My favorite would be the I'm not sure I'm going to get the title right, but it was the Christmas Carol one.
A Christmas Carol, that's what it was called. Yep,
okay. The Christmas Carol with the giant shark, and I just loved the imagery of the fish in the crystalline clouds and him coming back for Christmas Eve after Christmas Eve to get the young lady out of the cryogenic chamber. I really like that one. But I like the Christmas story the Christmas Carol as a story in general, so.
I think that's a good choice. What about you, AJ?
I'm actually going to have to go to the first technical Christmas special of as it was called. And I'm going to go with the Christmas Invasion because it's really where you first, I feel like Rose is finally switching from this, you know, teeny bopper shop girl to this wonderful young woman in a very 3D character. And that episode to me is probably her pivot point.
I think so, yeah. She really grew up on that one, and she had to do a lot on her own before the doctor even came back, so she really did have to grow up. Alex, what about you?
Well, the Christmas Invasion was definitely very good, but I gotta tell you, my all-time favorite is The Runaway Bride, because Donna Noble, she won my heart from the very first moment that she appeared till the very last moment when the doctor left her. It just, Donna Noble can, you know, run the world.
And it's not Donna Noble, Catherine Tate, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I think I'm going to actually have to agree with Doreen on The Next Doctor, and I think it's because it's really the one where he gets the happy ending. You know, yes, some people died, but he gets real snow. It's not Sycorax ash or ballast from the Titanic or anything like that. He gets a companion that's his equal because he thinks it's him. So it's the first time he actually gets to really talk with himself, you know, at least in the David Tennant years. And he has a Christmas dinner at the end, and he's all happy. He's actually just changed his mind. All the rest of them have some sort of sad element, like when Donna leaves or Astrid dies or et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to go with that. And I also like the fact that I'm into Walking Dead now, and while everybody else is going, ew, the governor, he's evil, I hate him, I'm like, I like him, he's nice. all because of Next Doctor.
Well, it's also, it reminds me, you guys keep saying, oh, everybody gets that happy ending, and it reminds me of The Doctor Dances, which is the second part of one of the best two parts of The New Who.
And agreed.
Just this once, everybody lives, you know?
Which I have no idea why they didn't use that in the whole Doctors Revisited thing, why that wasn't the episodes that they showed for Eccleston, do that two-parter,
no.
Because they even commented how, yeah, he finally got a happy ending.
That is the best two-parter of New Who.
I totally agree with you. And I agree with you about Donna Noble, too. I love Donna. She's awesome. So, listeners out there, what's your favorite Christmas special and why? Let us know by emailing in. We'll have details at the end of the episode. But I think we are ready to move on from Doctor Who, at least for now. We've got, 9 months until Capaldi actually officially appears.
Don't remind me.
Hi, we'll have to
this
do more talking about
I
him.
This is the
one
I really want
somewhere.
To talk about pregnancy. 9 months.
No.
We'll just call it a pregnant pause.
The next 9 months, babies born to Who fans will be known as the babies in boredom.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. You're not going to hear that with the guys out there, ladies. That's one you're only going to hear here.
why girls are more fun.
Exactly. And we're more fun because we also have our turn-ons, like long walks on the beach and candlelit dinners. No, okay, I'm not talking about that kind of turn-on. Everybody out there, these are going to be the shows, movies, games, books, whatever, that we've been turned on to, and we want to get you just as hooked as we are because, you know, we all need a good binge watch. Doreen was just talking about that. I'm actually going to start this one because I don't want any of you to take my binge watch, my latest addiction. So it's a French show. I don't know if you guys have seen this. You already know what I'm talking about. It is going to have subtitles. It's worth it. Don't do your laundry. Don't be on the computer or something else. You got to put your attention to it. It's based on a 2004 movie of the same name, Les Revenants. Yeah, okay, I took French for 2 years in college, so, yeah. The English title is The Returned, and this is a zombie show like no other I've seen. It starts with an episode called Camille. She's a 15-year-old student on a field trip in the mountains near her home in France. The bus crashes over the barrier. Everyone dies. 4 years later, the town prepares to unveil a memorial to the students who died, and Camille, looking just like she did before she died, no bruises, tears, anything like that, climbs back over the railing, down the road, across the dam to her home, and right into their kitchen because she's, of course, famished. That's what the undead always are. Her mom comes down and sees her and is in shock, and because there's her dead daughter standing in front of her looking exactly like she did 4 years ago, and she has no recollection of what happened. This was an 8-episode series, and it takes place over actually just a week. We have the undead coming back from the past 35 years. There's a mystery with the dam and flooding and all sorts of things, and we see how their lives are intertwined and a cliffhanger ending. It is going to have a second season. It aired in France in November 2012, Britain this past summer, and here in America on Sundance this past fall. And it's in talks, actually, in Britain and in America to have their own version, so we'll see how that works out. But Carlton Cuse was talking about it here in America, and I'm a big Lost fan. So I'm not a zombie person at all, and this one had me hooked. It was really bad, too, because I was watching it one night, and we had a power outage right at this, like, really intense moment, and the whole house is pitch black and rain pouring everywhere. I'm like, well, that wasn't such a good place for the power to go out. But
I'm sorry.
I highly recommend this. It's an awesome, and it is available on iTunes. And you can get that link, I'm sure, from our show description, because if you buy it, then we get a little bit, Sci-Fi for Me gets a little kickback.
Ooh.
Did I say that? So that's my...
Ooh.
So that's my turn on right now. I love The Return. Check it out. It is awesome. Who's next?
You know what? I'll jump in. This is AJ. For those of you who follow me on Twitter at all, or those of you who know my Facebook or anything like that, you've probably heard me rant and rave about this show. This is my favorite web series ever. This is probably the one thing that knocked Lord of the Rings out of my number one fandom, which was really hard because Tolkien is kind of a, Tolkien is, I idolize the man. But this is the Canadian web series, Space Janitors. Space Janitors was originally over on The Escapist, and it premiered on Geek & Sundry in, I believe, April of the past year. And it is probably the best parody I've ever seen because it parodies everything. It's loosely based on Star Wars. They're on a ship that is a Death Star-like ship. Their evil villain is, you know, the Darth Lord, but it's told from the side of the evil empire. And this social group that's really low on the evil empire,
totem pole?
I guess, chain of command. It's told from the point of view of two janitors, a computer psychologist, and in the first season, Andrew, as well as another character that gets involved, is what they call a squall trooper, which is basically a stormtrooper costume with a Halo Master Chief helmet. So it's really wonderful. They've already finished their second season, Edith and Dennis Forever. They're my ship. So
I just, while you're talking about it, I'm like, okay, this sounds really interesting. I'm on the computer, so I'm like pulling it up going, okay, we're going to mark that. That sounds
And it should only take you about, I guess about an hour to watch the whole thing. There's about 8 episodes in the first season, and I think a similar amount in the second season. It really doesn't take too long to watch at all.
Okay. So Maya,
I'm definitely going to check that one out.
Okay. Maya here, and I'm going to jump in. And mine is an old one, and it would be the Star Trek Next Generation. So it's not something that is coming out or anything, but it's the one show that I can go back and watch reruns of, and I never get tired of it. I always enjoy catching episodes and seeing what my friends are back up to and what kind of adventure they're going to be having. And it just never gets old for me.
Well, it's one that you can easily do a binge watch on because BBC America is always playing.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you're like sick a day or something.
And it's on Netflix.
See, and so I kind of know where it goes, so because it's already happened.
I'm going to jump in with that and plug and say for those of you in the Kansas City area, coming in March 14th, 15th, and 16th, we will be at Planet Comic-Con, and so will most of the cast of Star Trek Next Generation.
So come check them out.
What exactly. A timely plug. I love it.
Well, you know.
Good job.
I won't
what about
the
you,
joke that comes to mind.
Yeah,
okay. I'm going to tell you about one of my obsessions, and don't laugh. I got two of my friends in Ohio addicted to it, so I must be doing something right. MTV's Teen Wolf is actually quite good.
No, it's perfectly legitimate.
Has absolutely nothing to do with the Michael J. Fox movie, except I think the sidekick's name is still the same, Styles. He's actually my favorite character. It's just really well written, and it's dramatic, and it's more sci-fi than it is horror. Even though wolves are involved, it's not all about some wild wolf on the loose killing everybody and all the gory details, although that's in there, but it's not main focus of it.
And they're not ugly.
They have very strong female characters on there, which I like. And it is high school, so, you know, you kind of have to disconnect from your grown-up world a little bit. But it's just really good.
Who's grown up?
Yeah, not me, that's for sure. I like the fact that it's a drama, but they throw in some really great humor. The character that I like so much, Styles, he's the comic relief, and but it's witty comic relief. I mean, it's just really, really good. And season 3, part 2 is starting on Monday. That's why I bring it up. So, and I'm sure you can catch it on MTV, the actual website. And it doesn't hurt that the cast is good looking.
Well, you know, MTV is kind of the cable version of the CW. So, yeah,
I was going
to
say something.
You have to be good looking to be on there.
It's their top-rated show now on MTV. I mean, it's really getting good response from the critics and the audience. So
I have caught some of them too, and it is—it's really good. It's different than what I thought it was going to be. So I will say that. What
That's
about
what
you,
Alex? What's your recommendation for?
Yeah, the one show that I'm really obsessed about with is Lost Girl. That's coming back to the States on January 13th, I believe. But I've already seen some of the episodes of the fourth season. And it continues to be really strong. I mean, the selling point of it is that the main character, Bo, is a succubus. So basically, she feeds from sex. So the premise was problematic, and there were so many things that could have gone wrong and terrible, and I was really afraid, but they have an amazing writing team, and all the characters are strong and complex, and you just start watching season 1, and before you realize, you're in the middle of season 4, and half of your life is you know, devoted to it. So if anyone is willing to binge watch a show before it comes back, Lost Girl is definitely the show you want to check out. Sure, the season 3 was not as strong as previous 2, but it definitely got its groove back, and season 4 is amazing and strong, and yeah, Watch it. Watch it now.
And are Dyson we here? Is yummy.
Are we, what season are we? Because I think we're behind, aren't we, here in America on Lost Girl?
I think so.
No, actually, no. In Canada, it premiered sometime in December, season 4, and you guys are getting season 4 on January 13th. So you're half a season behind, yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking we were like a whole season behind on that.
I was too.
Yeah, I think you caught up during season 3 because it really picked up and the cast was taking part of Comic-Con, San Diego, New York. So they did a little publicity and season 3 was on schedule.
Okay, so they were also at Dragon Con, several of them.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, and the cast is adorable, just as people, not as characters. So that's a plus.
Okay, well, we want to hear what some of your obsessions are out there, too, so you can get us turned on to something new. I've already got a couple lined up from what you ladies have been talking about. So if you're listening out there, email in what your obsessions are, too. We got to get hooked on those. Finally, let's flash forward to some of the upcoming premieres. Let me know what you ladies here are going to be watching. First one I had up was Teen Wolf, which is on MTV January 6th, so I know Doreen will be turning into that.
Yeah.
I have on January 7th, with its official time slot premiere, January 13th, a new show, Intelligence, on CBS. It's the return of Mr. Josh Holloway from Lost.
Woohoo! Ooh.
Another thing you won't get with the guys.
Yeah.
No.
What did he always say on the show?
Well, he always called Kate Freckles. And
no, but
come on, I was a Desmond girl. I wasn't watching Sawyer. I was a Desmond girl.
I'm still disappointed he never played Gambit. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome. I think this is going to be cool because it's, he's got the entire internet in his head. We'll see how that works. We have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returning. Exactly. He's Tumblr. Call him that. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returns on January 7th, and Sci-Fi for Me does have the S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast Level 117, so check that out. Helix on Sci-Fi on January 10th. Yes, I know it's sci-fi, but come on, it looks like Sci-Fi. I don't know. Anybody watching Helix?
No.
Mm-mm. I'll tune in, one, two episodes to see how I like it, but that's all.
Well,
I gave
I know
up
January
on Sci-Fi when they canceled Warehouse 13 and Eureka.
I can't give up on Sci-Fi yet because on January 13th, they're going to do the Supernatural Night with Lost Girl, Being Human, which I love both the U.S. and U.K. versions of it, and a new show called Bitten. So we're getting werewolves, succubuses, vampires, ghosts, all sorts of stuff on Monday nights on Sci-Fi. Oh, my. The Originals and Supernatural return on January 14th on the CW. Anyone watching those?
No. I'm watching the Originals, and I'm loving it, really. I was surprised how much I love it. And a little ashamed because I wasn't prepared to love it.
I'm currently having old seasons of Supernatural shoved down my throat, so I'm hoping to be caught up at that point.
I really like Supernatural, but it's one of those I watch it when I see it because it feels like a pair of old slippers. It's like, oh hey, it's Dean and Sam again.
And they
have no idea what's
trouble.
Really going on there.
And Misha Collins, who is an excellent human being.
Oh, he's such a troll.
Which we have the Tomorrow People and Arrow on the CW on the 15th. Here's one I'm looking forward to on January 20th on Fox. Sleepy Hollow with Ichabod Crane. Yum.
Yes.
I have to go back and watch Salmon Fishing in the Yemen again just so I can not look at Ewan for a second and I'll look back at him. I don't know, but it could be the whole long hair thing, long hair and dirty clothes. Because has he changed once? Does he wash his clothes?
No. Are you talking about Sleepy Hollow?
We're not supposed to think about that.
He's pretty. On Sci-Fi on the 21st, something called Opposite Worlds. I don't know. 23rd, CW Vampire Diaries. One that really isn't our genre, but sounds interesting. It's a super secret spy show.
Fleming, the man who would be Bond, is going to be on BBC America on the 29th. Walking Dead and Talking Dead return to AMC on February 9th. I think, should we do a zombie show? Who's up for a zombie show with all the different zombies?
Well, The Walking Dead is the only one.
Anyone else besides me?
I'm good with it.
Yeah, works.
Because I watch it, we've got In the Flesh and The Returned and Zombies. I don't know. Once Upon a Time on March 9th. Let's hope they get it back on track. And Alex, you said that Wonderland was coming back on March 6th.
Yeah.
And then one I'm really looking forward to, Orphan Black on BBC America. Season 2 starts April 19th. Yay, Clone Club. Anybody else watching that besides me and Doreen?
Me. Pick me.
Okay.
We get it.
It's on my list of 8 million things to watch.
Oh, worth it. And here's the great thing. It's a BBC America show. So it's, what, like 10, 13 episodes tops for a season?
Yeah.
So if you wanted to watch, say, the full season 2 of Once Upon a Time, it's, what, 22, 26 episodes? Oh, my God.
Probably 22.
I finally caught up on that. Cut it. Thank goodness.
Cut it down.
And
I actually like the show. Don't you like it? The only movies I really see coming out are I, Frankenstein on the 24th with Aaron Eckhart. And that's old school sci-fi.
I've seen trailers.
He's going to be on the
trailers in as well.
I'm interested. I was like a good when they do the Mary Shelley Frankenstein, not when they're doing the Boris Karloff Frankenstein. So
A million times yes.
On February 21st is a historical one, Pompeii. I know it's not genre, but it stars Kit Harington, Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. Hello. So that's worth checking out. And who knows? Maybe Peter Capaldi will make a little preview on that. And another one called Welcome to Yesterday, which is about time-traveling teens. Should they change their past? Would you? Do we care? I don't know. And Captain America Winter Soldier on April 4th, and I don't understand why Winter Soldier is coming out in the spring.
Yeah.
No sense to me. And since you plugged one of your local...
You just have to deal with it.
Exactly. I'm not down with that. On a local note, at the Dallas Sci-Fi Expo on February 8th and 9th, Karen Gillan and Sylvester McCoy will be there. So Doreen and I are hoping to check that out, as will the Bionic Woman. Woohoo! From my childhood.
The real Bionic
Anybody else
woman.
Got anything coming up that they're looking forward to?
I think you mentioned...
Well, I've previously plugged Planet Comic-Con here in the Kansas City area. We're going to have a million and one awesome, epic people. Jewel State will be here. Will Wheaton. Basically the entire cast of TNG. Brent Spiner, LeVar Burton, Marina, Gates, Jonathan. You know.
That's awesome.
No big deal.
Say hi to him for me. When is that?
That is March 14th, 15th, and 16th. It's 3 days this year.
Sweet. Very cool. Anybody else? Anything else you're looking forward to? Last thoughts?
You covered an awful lot of stuff.
Comments?
Sherlock, but that's not a genre.
You know, actually, I was having that talk with someone. If you go back, Sherlock Holmes was doing things that they're only now starting to do. In sci-fi, in police work. So technically it's, you know, looking into the future science. So we could make a case for it. Yeah, I agree with you on Sherlock. That's an awesome show.
And it's Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, so, you know.
Have any of you heard about this year it comes out, something about Penny Dreadful. Has anyone heard anything about that?
No.
About what?
I've heard something, but only not enough to comprehend anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen like a little commercial, and it doesn't make sense. And then it says Penny Dreadful coming in 2014. So, but it looks like right up my alley. So,
nope, haven't heard a thing. But we'll have to keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah,
Keep
an eye out.
I guess that's it for this episode. We'll have to figure out what we want to talk about next. Anybody got any ideas for next podcast? What topics we want to talk about? Shows? Etc.
How about just mythologies?
Did you say zombie mythologies?
Zombie mythologies.
I was like, isn't zombie mythology they die, they come back, and they want to eat us? I think that's pretty close to what it is. Well, that wraps it up then, I guess, for this preview episode of Sci-Fi for Chicks. We would love to hear your comments, your questions, even corrections. Just be gentle. We are very sensitive, aren't we, ladies? Email us at sci5forchicks@sci5forme.com. Phone number to come soon. You can also record an MP3 and email it as an attachment. We will listen to and read all of your comments. We may even feature a few on a couple of a future episode. I can't guarantee we won't mock you if you disagree with us, but comes with the territory. If you'd like to join us in the lounge for a future podcast, contact us with your name, email, time zone, because we do have to take care account of that with Alex there, who's getting ready to go out for a late night drink, I think, after this. Your phone number and any topics you want to talk about. Like us and share on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Sci-Fi for Me. Sign up for email updates on our website, sci-fi4me.com. Subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes, Sci-Fi for Me Radio, so you won't miss any upcoming episodes. Any final thoughts, ladies?
Let's do it again.
Yeah, join us next time.
Just a lot of giggling. Just a lot of giggling.
Stern leadership is required.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Sci-Fi for Chicks. This has been a Sci-Fi for Me radio production. All rights reserved. See you next time.
Remember, no matter where you go, there you are. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.